Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us tonight on Episode 15, Season 3 of The Standoff with Brad and Richie. We're here live every Wednesday on Facebook throughout the season. Evening, Richie. Well, it was a shorter round, and most of the games were entertaining, but those Warriors really know how to kick a man while he's down, and they're the gift that keeps on giving when it comes to our news section. But how was your week?
My week was fantastic, thanks, mate. I did enjoy the few games that were played, but the Warriors not so much. But you know, taking the game aside, they've kept themselves in the news for us, so that'll keep us busy, I'm sure.
And due to that, we're going to have a little bit of a change in our structure for tonight's show, but I'll get into that very shortly. But while we're live here on Wednesday evenings at 8, you can also catch our show at your convenience on the podcast on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. So as I said, we've got a little bit of a change with our schedule tonight. We're going to start off with our top stories of the week. We'll then go into a review of round 13, an update of our tips. We'll then stop and twist that knife a little bit and discuss the Warriors and Nathan Brown in its own little segment before going into some questions from you guys and questions that we've got for each other. We'll then preview State of Origin Game 1 and Round 14 and make our picks before ending the night, hopefully, depending on how we go with the Nathan Brown chat, with a bit of Super League. So remember to send us comments and questions throughout the show, and we may as well just jump into our stories of the week.
Let's do it.
All right. So with Brownie happening a little bit later, the first one I've got up on the news board here is the West Tigers have now fired Michael Maguire. Brett Camorley's going to take over as interim coach. I had an interesting note when I looked at it. The Tigers had a bye this week. So you think if they're going to make this decision, they would have done it a bit earlier to give Brett Camorley some time with the team. What is your take on Madge Maguire getting the flick?
I'm not surprised. As you know, he was our tip at the start of the year as, you know, who we thought would be the first coach to be sacked. So it's probably more the timing of it is weird for me. You know, he's had a lean time of things, and I kind of thought he was on very, very thin ice after the last round of last year when the Tigers got belted by the Bulldogs. And yeah, nobody gets belted by the Bulldogs. I thought the writing was on the wall for him then. So I'm a bit surprised he's lasted this long. I don't think he's a bad coach at all. I think probably just not the right fit there. So interesting to see what happens career-wise for Madge now.
Yeah. I don't mind him as a coach. And I think one thing the Tigers have done that I've been wishing we saw out of our own team, the Warriors, is they might be losing every week, but they're giving it 100%. You can't sit there and say the Tigers aren't trying. You can see they're really trying, which shows that the Tigers, they had bought into what Maguire was doing. as in the playing staff. But yeah, like you said, I kind of thought he would be gone before the start of the season. And then, yeah, I picked him as my first coach sacked as well. But yeah, interesting times ahead for him. He's obviously got a lot more time now to prepare for the World Cup since he's still the New Zealand coach. So I'll take the positive out of it that hopefully that has the Kiwis in the right position to be competitive in this World Cup since they weren't so competitive in the last one. But yeah, so on the coaching side of things, we've now got three teams looking for coaches in the Bulldogs, Warriors and Tigers. So it's going to be an interesting few months as the clubs go on a recruiting drive for the next head coach. We're obviously going to be getting drips and drops every week. So we'll probably be talking about this for the rest of the year, but we'll see what happens with that moving forward. I did get one more other bit of news because I knew that the coaching stuff was going to take a bit of time, so I wanted to just cherry pick the biggest. And the only other big thing I got kind of flows into the World Cup, but the ARL Commissioner Chairman Peter Vlandis has been announced as the head of a selection committee for the Kangaroos. The selection committee also has the Origin coaches, Brad Fittler and Billy Slater, and Mel Meninga. They're going to pick a 40-man Australian side throughout Origin. And then after the grand final, they're going to cut it down to the actual World Cup squad. So what's your takes on Peter Vlandis coming in and becoming a rugby league selector now?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Not 100% sure how credentialed he is in that area, but it's the Kangaroos, isn't it? I mean, no matter what, they're going to throw together an extremely strong squad, which will push very hard for the World Cup. So, yeah, I'm more interested in the makeup of their squad and you know, see who might be named and who potentially puts their hands up to play in island nations like Tonga. And chooses Samoa or Tonga over the Kangaroos. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I'm not too sure on the reasons why he's in there. I don't think he's needed. I think Billy, Freddie and Mal could probably make a decent squad. Yeah. Simon's just said the same thing. Evening, Simon. He said he should really stay out of selections. Yeah, it's kind of keep church and state a bit away from each other when he's kind of meant to be in charge of the Australian Rugby League, keep out of the politics of team selections and stuff. But they've made the choice. I know Peter likes to get himself in the media a bit, and with COVID kind of disappearing or not being a bigger concern, he isn't getting his name in the news anymore. So he needs to get in there somehow. So yeah, that was all the news I really had. Obviously, the Nathan Brown stuff we are going to talk about later if you just tuned in now. So we may as well go into the injury ward. I've picked a couple of big ones. First one is Jared Croker from the Raiders. We have spoken about him the past few weeks, but his season is now officially over. He's going to need season-ending shoulder surgery. He's still contracted until 2024, so he may get those 8 games that he needs to join a 300 club, but he could very well have played his last game for the Raiders. What's your take on it, Richie? You think he's going to be able to get back?
I guess it's all going to hinge on how well his recovery goes. He's had a wretched run, so, you know, I feel for him. And he's not the kind of player you'd wish this on. He's been very loyal to the Raiders. I'm sure Simon is, you know, disappointed by this news too. But
yeah,
by all accounts, great bloke. He's been a fantastic player. So I just feel sorry for him, and I hope his recovery goes well so he can come back for make a last run at the milestones he deserves.
Yeah, I really want to see him get that 300 club. I think it'd be a great testament for him for how loyal he's been for the Raiders. And through some trying times for the Raiders, he was sometimes, you know, the only player there holding them all together. So I think it would be great to see him bounce back. Obviously, life after football is very important as well. So I would rather see him get the surgery and have to retire and have a productive life after footy then push through and hamper his life after. But wish him nothing but the best, and hopefully he bounces back. Next bit of news is Carl Lawton from Manly. He ruptured an ACL in his team's domination of the Warriors and will be out for the rest of the season. Very tough for Lawton. I don't see it as a big concern for Manly overall. He's a very handy player coming off their interchange, but he's basically playing a similar role to what Dylan Walker's kind of doing there at the moment. So horrible for him, but I think Manly will be okay without him there. Any takes on Lawton before we move on?
Yeah, another ACL, which you know, never good. Feel sorry for him as a fan, you know, being an ex-Warrior.
Yeah.
And he's had a disrupted season as it is. You know, he's obviously, he was dealt a little bit of a suspension for his tip tackle and now the ACL. So, yeah, again, I feel for him. I'm a fan of his, so I hope his recovery goes well. I agree with you. I think Manly will deal with the injury, but, you know, he does add a bit of spice off the bench for them. So, yeah, I just wish his recovery goes well for him.
Yeah, and of the last proper big one is Jaden Campbell from the Titans. He is out for 8 weeks after suffering a high-grade hamstring tear. We'll talk about it when we get to their game, but I think that's a massive blow for the Titans. I think he was really a bit of a lightning rod for them with the ball in hand, which is something they sorely need. So, yeah, 2 months without him, it's going to be tough times for the Titans.
Yeah, that's a hammer blow. He was one of the shining lights for them. The season is it's not going the best, is it, if we're being honest? They're really struggling. So that's the last thing the Titans needed, one of their best being out for a couple months. So,
Yeah, definitely. And then the last two are really just updates. So Latrell Mitchell from the Rabbitohs, he was set to return from his hamstring injury this week, but he caught COVID, so he's out. And Viliami Valia from the Warriors, we talked about his broken jaw last week. We've actually got an assessment and an update now. They say he's going to be out for 2 months. So sad news for Valia. He was starting to find his feet, but he's young enough. He's going to bounce back. And I don't think the Warriors can do any better or any worse with or without him, to be honest. So we'll see what happens. But that's it for Casualty Ward. And unlike last week, I've actually got some naughty boys. So we've got Naughty Boy Corner back. Just three this week.
Just before you go on to that, just from his point of view, obviously there'll be a new coach coming in who won't know him. So from that point of view, you won't have had the opportunity to put his hand up. Potentially, if a coach comes in before the end of the season. And that would be the only downside of him having an injury now at this point.
Yeah. So, Naughty Boy Corner. Only one suspension this week, which is Jordan Rapana from the Raiders. He's been suspended for a week after pleading guilty for a grade 2 dangerous contact. It was kind of, he essentially accidentally kicked someone in the face. He's got a week off for that. One of his teammates, Zach Wolford's been fined $1,500 for a grade 1 crusher tackle. And then Kyle Flanagan from the Bulldogs has got a $1,000 fine for a grade 1 dangerous throw. So not too many naughty boys this week. Hopefully we'll see a few suspensions next week to talk about. But we may as well go straight into round 13, Richie. So I'll hand the floor to you if you want to start our short round.
You bet. The short round started on Thursday with the Cowboys hammering the Titans 32-6. 6-1 for the Cowboys. Helium Luki, Murray Taulagi, Hamiso Tabuai-Vaidoa grabbing a double. Reese Robson and one of the standoff's favourite sons, Peter Hiku, grabbing a try. And only the one try for the Titans to Toby Sexton. 16-6 at halftime. They go and double their score in the second half. The Cowboys march on, Brad. We've said it the last few weeks, but they're looking very good this year, aren't they?
They are, yeah. I thought before we talk about them, I thought the Titans started well and they looked like they were up for the challenge. And then Toby Sexton kicked the ball out on the full. And then after that, it kind of all went downhill. Losing Jaden Campbell, as we just mentioned earlier, didn't help their attack as they lack his spark. And they're lacking a lot of direction at the moment, which has been a problem all year. That foreign signing for next year, I think, is going to really help them turn their form around. Just having an experienced head out there leading everyone around. They also miss Big Tino, who's out with Origin. He adds a lot of starch in the middle. But essentially, they just made too many errors, and you can't do that in the NRL. But for the Cowboys, they did really well. I wasn't 100% confident going in due to the fact they had so many of their key players out. But they looked really good. They took a bit of time in each half to kind of get into the game. You know, I think it was around the 27th minute they scored their first try. And then in the second half, it wasn't until the 68th. But after they scored that first one in each half, they kind of went on a roll. They like to score in bunches, which is really dangerous. Admittedly, they weren't playing a formidable side in the Titans, but they still, you could tell they took the game seriously. They weren't walking out there going, we've already got this, let's just have a bit of fun. They stuck to their game plan. Jason Taumalolo was fantastic out there. And yeah, the Cowboys are a really dangerous side, and I think they could run deep into finals, which never thought I would have said at the beginning of the season.
Absolutely. I think Scott Drinkwater probably deserves a mention too. I mean,
I just come in and say something, Matt, you know.
Yeah, I'll take the backs. So, yeah, Drinkwater has been a revelation since coming in at fullback, and I think he's kind of forced Todd Payton's hand now into making him one of the first names written down on the team sheet at fullback. Do you agree with that?
I think so, yeah. I think he makes that team a lot more dangerous. It's essentially having like another half out there. So,
yeah.
It's a absolute win-win having him out there compared to not. So, yeah. Great for Scott, because there were talks that he was going to be out of there before the start of the season. So he's really showing his worth, and I don't think they'll let him go anytime soon.
Yeah, no, I agree, because, I mean, he's too good a player to not be playing first grade, and he spent a fair bit of time, not playing first grade the past year. So it's great to see him being selected and performing so well.
Yeah,
this round review is going to fly by, isn't it? We're already nearly halfway there. Panthers on Friday night, Panthers defeating the Bulldogs 30-18. 5-3, Chris Smith, Dylan Edwards, Taylor May, Viliami Kikau, and Jamin Salmon getting the tries for the Panthers. 3 tries for the Bulldogs. Josh Adokar, who's been snubbed for Origin, scoring a double. And Matt Burton grabbing the third try. 22-6 at halftime. The Bulldogs actually showed a bit of resolve to get a couple tries back in the second half. But even without the Origin stars, Brad, the Panthers doing what the Panthers do.
That's right, yeah. The Panthers, they just turn up, win, and leave. But it was a good game to watch. I thought the Bulldogs, as you said, they showed a lot of fight against the depleted Panthers side. Adokar, as you saltily mentioned, that isn't playing Origin. I thought he had a strong showing, and depending how tonight's game goes and the wingers for New South Wales go more directly, I think he should find himself back in the squad. It was really that type of game where you knew he was out there to prove a point. And it was him and the other recent signing in Matt Burton. I thought, Millie, they're the only ones who scored the points, but I felt like they really did their part to try to keep this Bulldogs team competitive. As I said, Burton, he put on a nice display of his potential. And it wasn't a bad game from the Bulldogs. They were just beaten by a better side, even though the Panthers were severely under strength. But they just keep winning. As I said, it doesn't matter who's on the pitch. The entire squad's brought into what it means to be a Panther. And when they're called upon, they just step up and deliver. Viliami Kikau, he was asking plenty of questions from the Bulldogs, and Sean O'Sullivan was solid once again. He hasn't really put a foot wrong every time they've called on him to replace Cleary. So great to see a former Warrior doing that. Yeah, we could really do with a halfback like him right now. But yeah, hard to predict the next time we're going to review a Panthers loss here, Richie. I was kind of expecting Origin to be when we get to talk about them falling apart, but they're not.
Well, they've got the Warriors coming up soon. That might be the one.
Of course.
Yes. Yeah. With my extremely optimistic face on. But yeah, where would this Bulldogs team be without Adokar and Burton?
That'd be wooden spoon again, which they are probably already.
Yeah, they could well be that anyway, but I mean, I feel like those two
are
really...
Sorry, yeah, I had a brain wipe. I thought Titans were dead last right now, but no, they're still wooden spoon.
They're still sitting there, but gee, I feel like those two are doing a, you know, doing a lot of carrying of that squad. But you know, maybe next year when a couple of other big signings come on board, Viliami Kikau. Admittedly, I think their attack's gotten a little better since Trent Barrett's departed. They look like they're scoring a wee bit more points per game now, so that's one positive, I suppose. I'm just waffling now. I'm trying to avoid the next game.
We've got to talk about it, so let's just do it.
Saturday, Manly Sea Eagles 44, the Warriors 12. 7-2 for Manly, 12 for Sipley grabbing one. Haumole Olakau'atu grabbing one. Marty Tapau, Josh Schuster, Ruben Garrett grabbing the double, and the Saab, Jason Saab, with an intercept try. For the Warriors, Jack Murchie and Bunty Afoa grabbing the only two tries in the second half. Horrible first half, Brad. Maybe slightly more effort in the second half, but this game was lost very early. And admittedly, there were a couple of dodgy decisions. I don't think Marty Tapau's try should have been awarded. I think he may as well have grounded that ball on the 22. What do you make of it, though?
Yeah, that was at the last note I had, so we may as well start with that. The officials were shocking in this game. Yeah. I don't know how Aitken gave Marty Tapau that try. Marty didn't even think he scored. He was trying
to
get
up. He got to play the ball. Yeah, it was weird.
And then the bunker was like, we can't see enough to prove that it wasn't a try, so we're going to stick with your decision. No one thought it was a try, but the Warriors only have themselves to blame. As bad as the refereeing was, that was not the difference in this match. I was a bit luckier than you, Richie. This was a win-win game for me. It was my two teams. So either way, yeah, I was coming out as a proud fan. But no, it was horrible. My first thought we'll talk about in the Nathan Brown part, but my second thought was how small the Warriors were compared to Manly. It looked like kids playing adults out there, but they were never in the fight. They lacked all over the park, with the ball, without the ball, you name it, they were horrible. And they were very lucky to not get 50 put on them, to be honest. Soft defense, errors, no attacking threat at all. I just can't see a light at the end of the tunnel as a Warriors fan, which I've never felt before. You kind of always gave them the puncher's chance, you know, like as bad as things will be, they'll come out there and beat somebody out of nowhere. Yeah. I just don't see that right now. Sean Johnson looks like a spent force. In fact, I think I put in my review this week, the only time the Warriors looked good on attack was when Sean wasn't involved. And it was Reese Walsh and Chanel Harris-Tavita combining together to do some sparks. And we got two tries off that. Every time he was involved, it just fell apart. I've never said this before, but I don't think the Warriors could beat the Dogs right now. And I think they could end up with the spoon. In fact, I know Paul doesn't like advocating gambling, but after that game, I put money on Warriors to get the spoon at the end of the year. That was how viral, how upset I was at this performance. There was another team, though. There was Manly. They just dominated the contest. There's no easy way to say it. Their forwards were doing all the hard work up front. Olakau'atu was made to look like a superstar. He's a very good player, but in this, he looked like one of those top tier second rowers, like the Fifitas and the like. I'm still not 100% sold on Josh Schuster as a half, but it's sink or swim time for him. I think he was a bit patchy. But overall, I think Manly will be happy with the win. They did it without DCE and Tommy Turbo. Yeah, they got them at the right time. So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
You made a point about us looking small. I thought that's a very valid point. How much would you like a Fenua Blake and a Lodge in that game? Because, yeah, like you say, Manly's forwards, Olukuatu in particular, but pretty much the whole lot of them.
Yeah,
we've talked about our edge defence this year being poor, but a number of those tries were just crashing over, one off the ruck or from dummy half, up straight up the middle. We really struggled with their physicality and size. I don't want to share your sentiment about us getting the spoon. I'm hoping like heck the Dogs have that locked in. There's still a couple of wins behind us, so I did find myself looking at their draw pretty hard and trying to find where they'll pick up three or four more wins from. So let's just hope they keep losing.
Yeah, I'll put it out there. I don't want the Warriors to get the spoon by any means. I just don't. I look at the entire draw right now and I don't see any team that I'm confident they could beat. And they do have to play the Bulldogs. So if they lose to the Bulldogs, you know, their destiny's in their own hands. But, wise input?
As Simon says, you're forgetting the dead cat bounce that's going to happen.
Yes.
With the now they've ditched the coach.
But that's already been proven not to work this year because the Bulldogs lost after sacking Barrett. So I'm not confident in it. But the Warriors do seem to like to bounce back after sacking a coach. So we'll see.
I'm hoping Stacey can get a response out of the team. But then he did come out and pick pretty much the same team that was being selected, even though they haven't been performing.
In his defense in that situation, though, he had the job for a day.
Yeah, exactly. That team was probably potentially already penciled in.
Yeah, and he might make changes closer to the day. We don't know. I think we'll see a proper reflection of what he's got next week, but that's going into another segment. So let's go to the last game, Richie, before we move on.
Righto. Sunday, the Simon's Green Machine, the Raiders, getting up over the Roosters 22-16. 4-3 for the Raiders, Adam Elliott, Xavier Savage, Sebastian Chris, and Matthew Timoko. And 3 for the Roosters, Satili Tupanua, Paul Momorowski, and Joseph Suwali. 12-6 at halftime. Raiders end up 22-16 winners. The Raiders have been good value, Brad, I think. You know, obviously they had a terrible start, but they seem to have responded pretty well and they're performing quite well now.
Yeah, and before we talk about the game, finally a close game in the round.
Yeah.
Which is good to see. I was kind of expecting one of these teams to just dominate the other, like we basically saw in all the games by the Panthers Bulldogs. But I think I'll go with the negatives first because I'm still feeling the Warriors' frustration right now. But I thought both sides made plenty of errors in this game, and it was a real messy start. But the Raiders, to their credit, made the most of the opportunities they got. Hudson Young, I thought, really looked good out there. Xavier Savage continues to show that he's got that X factor that, you know, every club wants one of those X factor type players. Still very young and inexperienced, and that leads to some silly mistakes. But he's learning, so you give a bit of leeway there. But I think he's a fantastic find, and it might be time for Stacey or Asterix, whoever the new Warriors coach is, to give Chans a call and see if he wants to come home. Because I don't know if Chans will make it into that side if Xavier keeps building the way he is. They got the win. The only if I was Ricky Stewart, I know that he loves looking at the downside of everything. So their defense was a massive concern for me. They missed 40 tackles in this game, even though they won. The positive on that is they got the tackles that counted, that they really needed to get. A bit of scrambling. I don't know if it was a communication breakdown or just the Roosters were really dangerous, which is something that is quite common. But that is something that I need to work on their defense a bit. And yeah, they got themselves into a bit of form and still have a shot at making the playoffs, which we wouldn't have said a few weeks ago. But on the Roosters side, I didn't really have too much. I've got Joey Manu, was really dangerous. He was loving having a little bit more freedom out there, getting his hand on the ball all the time, constantly asking questions of the Raiders. They were too disciplined, I think. That was their probably their biggest issue. They conceded 10 penalties in this game, and I think if they'd cleaned up their act a little bit and played to the whistle, they might have squeaked home and got this win. But yeah, as I said, Raiders are starting to hit a bit of form, may make the playoffs, but the Roosters are risking slipping out of the eight if they keep letting games like this go.
Don't say that. They're my premier tip, mate. Don't forget. Yeah, you're right. The Raiders missed 40 tackles. It's really weird to see they missed 40 tackles and the Roosters missed 20. So the team that lost missed half the tackles that the team that won did. Yeah, Joe Marnie was huge. I think he got around 300-odd metres with the ball. And you're right. You're absolutely right about Xavier Savage. He looks the future for them going forward, doesn't he? He's got a ton of pace and they look very dangerous with him in there. So, yeah, like you, I wouldn't mind somebody from the Warriors sending out Chance to see if he's keen on a second stint here.
Yeah.
That was the round. That was the short round.
Yeah, so that was, yeah, not a bad round, bar one big game that I don't want to talk about anymore. But we will go to which one we got. We got the tips first. So Simon and myself got 100% of the games right. Richard stupidly picking the Warriors.
Never again, mate. Never again.
I got that many times during the weekend that you're never picking them again. But yeah, so you got 3 out of 4. So I am still at the top leading 66 out of 100 picks. You are still second with 63 out of 100. And Simon's only one behind you now, 62 ground. Out of 100. And he sent through his picks and he's made a few different to me. So if you're picking like me, like you try to do all the time, he might pass you. So we'll see. And yeah, Simon's just commented that Chance belongs to the Green Machine. You gotta show him some love then if you want him to stay. I'm sure we can give him something nice to come home. It'd be nice. But yeah, so we go to the ladder. Not really too much changed. There were a few teams went down, couple went up. So we got Panthers still at the top. Then Storm are second, and then we got Cowboys third, Broncos fourth. So going back in the past, I don't think we would have said that the Broncos and Cowboys would both be in the top four. And then we've got Eels, Sharks, Roosters, and Rabbitohs finishing the top eight. You got something to add, Paul? You want me to finish?
I was just going to point out that the Cowboys have played one more game than the Broncos and the Eels. So got to be a bit careful at the moment. So looking at some of these positions, because there are games in hand now that we've had some teams play and some teams not play, it's all going to get a bit, see how it shakes out in the wash a little bit for some of those sort of pieces.
The teams that had a bye get 2 points though.
Oh, do they? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
They do.
Yeah.
Talking bollocks.
The good thing is the Warriors won't lose to the bye.
Exactly. We've got the bye to come, which will be tough. We'll probably get it in Golden Point. ninth place is the Dragons. 10th, the Seagulls. Raiders are 11th. Knights are 12th. Tigers are 13th. Warriors are 14th. Titans are 15th. And then the Bulldogs dead last.
Well, there you go. That puts you above the Tigers, right? Because they've had their 2 points. And you exactly. get 2 more points. So, oh, look, you've got that hand over them.
Yeah. So, interesting times. But yeah, so that's the ladder. So now we'll go into our new segment, which is Nathan Brown and the Warriors. So big it needed its own section. So Nathan Brown.
Well, before we start, don't forget, folks, you can always head over to Brad's blog to see his writings about all this. I'm sure he's put a few comments in there on his review of the game at the weekend, and also other comments that you other writings that you do. So don't forget to check out Brad's blog for some written opinions in between these shows.
Yeah. It's a great read. It's a very good read.
I haven't written about Nathan Brown yet because this happened recently, but I'm sure it's going to be coming up in the next one. Nathan Brown, yeah. So earlier, I think it was it Sunday or Monday? I think it was Monday night. News came out that Nathan Brown had advised the club that he would no longer be committing to moving to New Zealand. And then Tuesday, so yesterday, the Warriors let him go and gave Stacey Jones the interim coaching gig. I originally had in my little notes that I put in here that it was a nicer way to fire him, in my opinion. But I actually watched his interview on 360 last night, and I kind of... you never know who to believe. In professional sport, I believe nobody. It's just the way it goes. But he kind of explained a situation that he had committed to moving to New Zealand 2 years ago. COVID happened and a lot of stuff in life has happened. And he said he decided about 5 to 6 weeks ago that it wasn't going to happen because his family didn't want to move and he didn't want to move here without his family. So I understand that side of things, but I'm also one of the people that wasn't interested in having him as coach to start with. So it's not a big loss for me. He seems like a great guy, don't get me wrong. I just don't think he was what the Warriors needed. And that's not his fault that he got the job. He initially turned the job down. And then when Todd Payton said, "I don't want to be coach anymore," they came back to him as like the second option. And he was like, "Okay, I'll do it." So, yeah. Before I ask you heaps of questions, Richie, what's your take on all of this that's come down now?
Simon says Brown should have got rid of his family. That's not very nice, Simon. I also watched that segment on NRL 360.
It might not be very nice about by Simon, but it's what Brad would do.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely what Brad would do.
100%.
I think Nathan Brown said something about his daughter or his kids going to 11 or 12 different schools of the past decade or so. So, yeah, it's obviously a very tough sacrifice, albeit they're very well paid. But, you know, it's a tough lifestyle choice if you want to spend a lot of time with your family. So I think listening to Brown talk about that, he's obviously making decision based around wanting to spend more time with his family. Whether or not there's more to it than that, we'll never know the whole truth, I guess. I mean, initially I had the same feeling. He was probably...
tapped on the shoulder?
Yeah, shoulder tapped, and maybe he wasn't.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know, the writing was on the wall for him in terms of his coaching tenure. Yes, with Stacey Jones, I'm not too sure that he actually wants the coaching, full-time coaching role. So, I'm hoping he goes. I'm hoping he brings some good results, but I'm very much aware that he's an interim and we're not traveling so well. So, I'm not expecting the world, but I'm being a club legend. I hope the boys respond to him and actually put in for Stacey.
Yeah, I think the thing that the Warriors are missing right now, and I'll talk it to the camera, to Cameron George. I know you don't watch this show much, but you do sometimes. But I think the biggest problem the Warriors have right now is they seem, I rant about it a lot, they've forgotten the New Zealand fan base, but the Warriors fans don't want to, you know, obviously you want to see the Warriors win a lot. It'd be great to see them win every week and be a Panthers team, right? But that's not going to happen. But all fans want is effort. Mm. Like I was talking to some Tigers fans, what the Tigers have been delivering. I know I keep harping on about them, but if that was the Warriors right now, where they're losing all the time, but they make their opposition work for it, it would be an easier pill to swallow than what they're delivering right now. They look 100% checked out. I think that will flow into that in a bit more in the Warriors stuff. But in terms of the coaching, I think Mark Robertson's already come out, as he loves to do, and he's already ruled out talking to Michael Maguire, saying they're not interested in Michael Maguire. But there are a few others. I look at a list. I've already got the one I want. He was on the list. But they got other options, taking Maguire out of the window. They got Stacey, who's there now, Shane Flanagan, Trent Barrett, Cameron Seraldo, Jason Riles, John Morris, Paul Green, Jeff Tuvey, and Christian Wolfe. They've also got the Walker brothers. My pick, I'll let you pick your pick later, but my pick would be Christian Wolfe. I said it a few weeks ago as well. He was who I originally wanted when they sat Kearney. Stars are aligning, if you will, if it's the only bit of Warriors optimism I have left. He's the current St. Helens coach, top of the Super League right now. He's also the coach of Tonga. He's off contract at the end of the season with St. Helens, which frees him up for next season. And if you just look, yeah, he's done a great job building Tonga up to what they are now. I know I've had arguments with my flatmates saying, like, you look at the players Tonga has. They said, you take away who the actual players are, they're a team with some reasonably sized forwards, a couple of electric backs, and no halves. That's the Warriors, essentially. We've got some good forwards, a couple of backs that can do something, and no halves to save ourselves. So it just seems like a win-win. You know, just change the jersey. He's also got a relationship with some of the players at the club already due to his Tonga connections. So that's who I would pick. But who would you pick?
Yeah, I would take Wolf as well. I'm saying that probably wouldn't be my first choice, but I would take him if he was offered up. Flanagan, I'd be quite keen on. He's won a premiership with the Sharks, and you know he's credentialed. But there are other names on that list as well who are highly touted, you know, up and comers of the coaching game. Seraldo, John Morris is you know pretty touted as an up and comer, but you know a lot of those guys don't have a lot of time in the saddle as a full time NRL head coach. So
I don't see either of them younger one. I don't the young ones that haven't had a taste yet. I don't see them moving to New Zealand.
Yeah, and not for us as well. I mean, I think if you look in that direction, you might end up in a similar boat as what we've had with Nathan Brown anyway. So my first choice is obviously a bit of a pipe dream, but Shane Flanagan would be my first choice. I think he's got that hard edge. And whenever he's been commentating us, he's critical in all the right areas that I am as well. So I feel like he would make some good tough calls and actually get our attitude in check, but
yeah. I think those two are the two that stand out for me in terms of credentials. Mm. Like, I know Christian Wolf hasn't had, you know, a lot of the NRL stuff. He coincidentally was the interim coach replacing Nathan Brown.
Nathan Brown, yeah.
Last time he was in the NRL. Yeah. But they didn't want to give him the head time gig because of his inexperience at that time. So he went up to the UK. And it is a very different league up there. But I just want to see a guy that can make the players buy in. And I think he has that. The fact that what he's done with Tonga speaks in volumes. But Shane Flanagan, you can say the same thing, minus a few hiccups with peptides. You can say the same thing he did at the Sharks. He got them all in and got them around. So they need someone like that. It would be, yeah. I know. As long as the Warriors have been great and making poor office decisions when it comes to their coaching. So as long as they've learned from the three or four previous mistakes they've made and actually take the time and pick someone. But Stacey might come out firing on all cylinders. When Todd Payton took over last year, I gave him no chance of turning the Warriors around. And he won me over and I wanted him to become the next coach.
Mm.
So what do I know? Really, Stacey might come out and get a similar response. We never know. I don't think he wants the head time gig full time right now. So, but yeah, before we move on, I know we're actually in good time here, but I do have a question.
Is changing the coach going to make any difference to the Warriors? And the Warriors have been through a couple of coaches recently, and there's obviously some question marks around the owner who took full ownership about 3 years ago now. And he's saying, hey, I just quickly read an article about how he's saying he had to dismantle the team and put it back together again, or the organization. Well, you're 3 years in now, where's the direction? For this rebuild, I think if the fans could see a direction, they could have connection with their fans over here in New Zealand, then you're in the right direction. But you need, first off, it needs that organizational direction from the top, and at the moment, it just doesn't look like it's there, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it's hard to see a turn in results immediately. I think it's going to be a long-term thing. And Nathan Brown did say it well on NRL 360. I think COVID has done a lot of damage to our club, probably more so than all the other ones. Damage to our identity and having no home ground and development as well.
The development thing. I think that's the biggest thing that the Australian commentators talking about COVID affecting the Warriors are missing out on, because they had reserve grade teams that were playing in the Australian competitions and playing well. And then COVID happened and those kids couldn't play in those competitions anymore. Yeah. And the Warriors couldn't keep all of them because they were getting offers from the Australian team saying, well, if you can't play in this competition, but if you leave the Warriors and join us, you can play in it. You'll just be living in Australia. They've had basically 2.5-3 years where that whole division has gone down. They've now said that next year, all of that's back. So they're going to have the jersey flag and the reserve grade and everything back under the Warriors banner. But yeah, like Paul said, you need communication. Mark Robertson loves to run his mouth. And I know he will never watch the show because he doesn't know how to turn a computer on. But he loves to run his mouth. So he should come out and say, we've got a 4-year plan. You know, it's going to be hard. The first two, maybe even 3 years of that's going to be a tough time for the club. Mm. But this is what we're going to get at the end of it. The problem is they've said that before. And then a year in, they've sacked the coach and started again because we're not winning games, even though they said, we're building and it's going to take time and the wins might not come straight away. And then, they just backpedal on it. it's always hard to hear that you're in a like building phase. It feels like the Warriors have been in a rebuilding phase for the past 10 mm-hmm. years.
Simon makes a point, 8 coaches in 10 years.
Clearly changing the coach works.
So that's not the answer. In this case, look, he was going to have to be changed anyway because he wasn't going to come back next year. So the only question was, when do you change it? Do you have a walking dead coach in charge for the rest of the season, or do you put interim coach in? That's a leadership decision. But both have got their pros and cons. Nigel makes a point that it's been 60 away games on the trot on the bounce now for the Warriors, which really doesn't help. But it's not just the play, I say, it's the direction of the club that's that I think that there needs to be questions around and aren't answered. But he does say, look, it's his club. He's doing it for the Warriors, not necessarily doing it for the fans.
And I think I put that on Twitter a few days ago before they even talked about Brown leaving. It was more the option of would he be leaving. I put it forward to saying, like, the same decision makers are still in the club that have made all these poor decisions. So eventually, if they keep making the wrong decisions, they've got to be moved on as well, you would think. So, like, your Cameron Georges and all that, if they're continuing to make the same wrong business decisions, maybe it's time to look at a new endeavor or find things that will fix it. Like, Ivan Cleary is always brought up as a coach and, like, how great he did. But you look at what they did for him when he came in as an inexperienced player. They brought John Harden as an advisor. They had all these people around to help. Basically, since then, they've just grabbed a coach, thrown him in there, given him the same coaching staff that every other coach has had, and just said, do better. And it doesn't work. Tony Iroh was the assistant coach for, like, 4 different coaches, and he was always still there. I don't know, but that does segue into my last part. It was like, where are we at as Warriors fans, Richie, and how are you feeling at this point in the season?
Yeah, obviously, it's tough. It's tough going right now. I mean, the results weren't easy to take as it is, and now you throw in all the coaching dramas. You know, depending on who you ask, a lot of fans are actually happy with Nathan Brown being shown the door. But for me, like I said before, I think it's just tempering my expectation and knowing that it's going to be a long-term fix. Getting home is going to be a key part of it, and having home games again and rebuilding that brand here. Hopefully, you know, regaining a bit of a fortress there at Mount Smart. And, I just don't see it turning around immediately. But as long as we're seeing progression and a light at the end of the tunnel, I think that's all we can hope for.
I've never felt lower as a fan. I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel right now. This is the big step. Getting that, I think Jacko mentioned it earlier, saying all doom and gloom, but get in the right coach and looking at next year's roster, we can improve up to mid-table quite easy and then kick on from there. That is the key point. I think they've got some good players coming in. They've got some good players there. You get the right coach that can do the actual job, and I think they can get out of the hole they've dug themselves. But if they do another brownie decision where they pick another coach that you just know from the get-go isn't right, then we're going to be talking like this next year as well, unfortunately. Getting them home, isn't the magic pill that's going to fix all the problems, but
it's a piece of the puzzle.
It's part of it. They need to get in front of a home crowd and see their family they haven't seen. I know a lot of them have their loved ones over there. I think a big thing was Sean. I have two ways. I've got the positive and I've got the pessimist. I think positively, I think he's missing his young daughter and his wife who aren't in Australia, and it's affecting his game. He's a new dad and all. Negative side of me, I thought he was potentially sandbagging his performances to get rid of Nathan Brown. So either way. But I think getting some of them home and getting that might help. It might be part of the puzzle. But well, I'm sure we'll hopefully have a bit more positive to talk about them next week. Hopefully. But we'll go in. Were there any questions from anyone, Paul, before
I'll quickly go and grab my... I've got to plug in my laptop's going to go flat. Don't mind me for 1 minute.
Awesome. It's always great to see you prepared.
It's good, isn't it? He didn't know this was going to happen. It was all a shock to him, obviously, clearly, that he was going to be on the show tonight. Simon asks us who was the best New Zealander to coach the Warriors, and will Stacey Jones become the best New Zealander to coach the Warriors? So, first off, who has been the best New Zealand coach for the Warriors?
Ooh, I don't know. Or the best ones have all been Australian. Bluey was horrible. It might have to be Frankie. Frank Endicott maybe might have been the best out of the New Zealand ones. But they're very thin and far between. I think it's very easy. It will be very easy for Stacey to come in and become the best New Zealand coach for the Warriors because it's a very low bar.
So we're up to 14 coaches now. How about I quickly run through them and you go success, fail, or something like that, or good or bad. We could and run through them. So we started off at the back in 95 with John Money, who got sacked mid-season. So I guess we're going to say poor, bad.
Yep, poor.
Frank Endicott.
Frank, I think he was better. He's probably the best New Zealand-born one to go with that question, in my eyes.
So a winning percentage of 39.4%. So 13 wins out of, and 20 losses. Mark Graham followed him.
Yeah, I don't think Mark did well for us.
No, he had a tough time.
Yeah, 36% win. Then went on to Daniel Anderson,
the GOAT, one of the best.
He's our most successful one.
Runner up and minor premiership. So Tony Kemp then followed him.
Let's not go there.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, at least Tony Kemp has now not the least successful coach anymore.
So I was going to say at the time the least successful coach ever on a percentage wise. Ivan Cleary then came in, become a runner up in 2011.
So next best
behind Anderson. Probably would have been the best if the Warriors didn't let him go.
Yeah.
Brian McLennan, who got sacked mid-season. So again, I guess not successful. And then the worst coach of all time on a results factor, Tony Iroh, with 2 games, 2 losses.
I don't even count him. But he was never going to be a head coach material anyway.
No.
Matthew Elliott then came in and again was sacked mid-season.
Yeah, rubbish.
Rubbish. We then had Andrew McFadden.
I liked McFadden. He was thrown in the deep end, and I think he had potential, but he ultimately didn't get a good run. I'm doing great with the Raiders as an assistant now, though.
Hmm. With a 44% win record. And we're getting into a bit of a theme here, because the next guy also got sacked mid-season, Stephen Kearney.
Yep. And we were doing the show when he got sacked. It was good, good for the show. I never really wanted him in the beginning. I think he's a fantastic assistant. I don't think he's a good head coach. But I didn't like the way it was done. I think he should have been done at the end of the previous season. But then Cameron George and our good friend Robert Robbo decided to sack him a couple of weeks into being in lockdown in Australia during COVID. So it was a bad look in my eyes. But he's fallen on his feet like he always does, and he's an assistant coach at a reasonably okay team called the Storm. So
yeah, he's doing okay.
And he's still getting paid by the Warriors. So
oh my god. and he was the third longest running, had the third longest tenure as far as games of any coach as well.
Probably longest now since he's still contracted.
137 with Ivan Cleary is the longest.
Yeah.
The Todd Payton came in then as a caretaker coach for 14 games to be replaced. Successful or not success from him?
I'd have him successful. The results may not have looked good, but the efforts that he got and how he turned that team around when they were willing to give up. They kind of fell away again when he came out live and said he didn't want to be our coach. They kind of fell away again after that. But before that, they were buying into him. And, yeah, look what he's doing now. So
I think he did a good job with the hand he was dealt.
As you say, at the time when Stephen Curley got axed, we all thought it was a bad look. But then, as you say, Todd Payton turned things around, was doing well, and then decided not to stay. Nathan Brown then, I think, has as you say, you didn't want him in the first place, and now he's gone. 35.4 success puts him slightly better than Tony Kemp, who is 35.1%. So. Tony Kemp still has the worst record as a Warriors coach, according to Wikipedia, folks. I mean, obviously, want to be.
I think it changed after the game against Manly.
Okay, so maybe there's one more game in there that they haven't counted yet.
Potentially, yeah, because Tony Kemp was talking all about it on his radio show that he was no longer the worst coach at the Warriors. But yeah, so out of all of that, Frank Endicott is, for Simon's question, the long way around, but probably the best New Zealand coach. So it's not a tall bar for Stacey.
No, it doesn't look like it. Richie, one of the things you mentioned was it's important to get home. What do you think the fans' reactions are going to be to the team and also maybe to the owner when they do return this season, especially after this has happened?
Probably not quite. The reaction from the fans won't quite be as positive as I thought they might be if you'd asked me a month or two ago. I think there's been a lot of drama and the results haven't been great. I think ticket sales are still good, so they'll still get good numbers to the ground. I just hope the boys respond to that and really put in a good effort to repay some of the Kiwi fans.
Right?
Yeah, I think they'll be. We've been there, Richie. We've been season ticket holders for a long time. We've been through some rough patches, and the fans that are there are always cheering them on anyway. So they'll still get a good crowd. If this was happening and they were playing on both sides of Tasman, there'd be no one there. But it's been 3 years without a live game of footy. So at least for that first game, there'll be a lot of people coming to the very last game of the season. Maybe it won't be that big. There might be me and the other 10 that normally go. But yeah.
Well, you see, better than English county cricket, because when it's one man and his dog, but so you're not allowed to take your dog in, are you, to the Warriors game? So you don't even get to count that head as a there. That's the questions from the live chat, boys.
All right. So I did see a thing from Simon earlier, which actually was your question to me anyway, Richie. So we may as well go straight into your question.
Sure. So I just wanted to talk to you about something I saw on social media during the week. Andrew Johns floating the idea that a new NRL team could be made up of players of mostly Pacifica backgrounds, kind of like what's happened in Super Rugby with Moana Pacifica, and basing that team out of Wellington. So do you think the idea has some merit? Could you see it working?
I think it has some merit, but it's good to see. And maybe Andrew Johns needs to wake up from the 1990s, because he just described 90% of the NRL teams right now.
Yeah, pretty much.
you look at a lot of the team, the Pacific influence is there through. If it was... Yeah, as long as it's in a way similar to what we talked about Papua New Guinea a few weeks ago, if it was a team built on a way of getting more of the Pacific Island players into the NRL as opposed to just going, we've got a team in Wellington, Brian Dottle, Stephen Crichton, Jason Damololo, getting all the already experienced ones and just moving them to a new club, I don't see it will help. But if it's used as a way to get some of those young ones in with a few experienced heads around them, I think it would be great. It'd also help with that, not it'd be based in New Zealand, but you would still have like your Warriors and then you would have a new Pacific Island team. I always liked the Moana Pacifica type approach. So I remember a few years back when they did the Pacific Islanders in rugby union, where they had a whole lot of them and they played Australia, South Africa, and New Zealand.
Yeah.
I always gravitate towards Pacific Islanders, as you know, Richie. So, yeah, I'd be all for it. But, yeah, that's basically every team in the comp right now. And, yeah, so I'm just saying, is Auckland a more logical place to play that team? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's kind of where they all are. Auckland's the biggest Pacific Island city in the world as far as Pacific Islander population. So clearly, yeah, I think it would be a more appropriate place than Wellington for that type of team. But I'm not sure you can have two teams based out of Auckland. That's not a good idea.
Just move the Warriors to Wellington.
No.
Hey, WW, Wellington Warriors. I mean, it just works.
I like that. That's off the tongue.
I would have to move.
Hey, Wellington's Warriors Entertainment, WWE, off we go.
There you go, yeah.
I guess the key thing here is the difference between what are sort of wants to get, as you say, the NRL teams at the moment is 80% of the players that play for Moana Pacifica have to be declared to play for Tonga, Samoa, or the Cook Islands. So it's about declaring to play for those countries as well, rather than just being, say, a capture team of, oh yeah, look, I've got Pacific Island descent, therefore I can play there, but actually I declare for Australia.
If they did that, I think that would be a lot better. If you had declared that you weren't going to play for Australia or New Zealand, you're playing for Samoa, Fiji, Tonga, Cook Islands, I think that would be better. That would still allow them to get some of the bigger players because of their little loophole Australia love to do, where you can still play Origin and play for Samoa or Tonga. But yeah, that would be a way to do it. They're going to need another team. So, if they're going to do another one in New Zealand, I'd like them to have that kind of caveat to it.
Or a team that is based in the Pacific Islands and, get your tourist travel things and get all the people to take holidays for a long weekend to Cook Islands, Samoa, Fiji, and Tonga, and rotate the games between those places, and just do a massive tourist thing to try and get the away fans to go on holiday there for each game. I think that could work.
Yeah. So my question for you, Richie, is a real easy one. I just said, which player in the NRL has impressed you the most so far this season? So any team.
It's tough to look past the Panthers, how well they're traveling. I think Isaiah Yeo, he's been fantastic the past few years, but again, this year looks probably a step up again, and just his involvements, and similar to Cam Murray, you know, playing in the lock position, but does so much work defensively, but then also on the ball as well. Almost like another half, and they can, and then Cleary and Luai push out a bit wider with Yeo doing a bit of ball playing. And I think that's why they just wreak havoc out wide. And you've seen their left-hand side benefit a whole bunch this year and put a truckload of tries. I think a lot of that's down to the good work in the middle done by Isaiah Yeo. So he, for me, has been probably the one that's impressed me the most. But I think he might also go pretty close to Dally M. But if I'm going to give out a couple of honourable mentions, I like what Nico Hines and Adam Reynolds have both done prior to him being injured, going to new clubs. And I think they've done a lot to transform the clubs that they've gone to.
Fair enough. Mine is Ruben Cotter.
Because he's another
forward.
Yeah.
But my one that it really impressed me, he's been playing really well, but at the start of the year, most people didn't think he was even going to make the Cowboys 17, and he's playing State of Origin tonight. So he's delivered a lot for the Cowboys and getting rewarded for it. So in terms of who's impressed me the most, I've kind of taken out these guys, like you said, like Isaiah Yeo and that. I expected them to do what they're doing. Maybe not at the level they're doing it, but to be there or thereabouts. Ruben, I had no expectations that he'd even be playing first grade. So that's who I picked. But I know we've gone very long now because Paul kept asking us questions. But we'll go into round 14 and State of Origin with our picks. We've already picked State of Origin. Simon and I were correct picking Queensland, and Richard's wrong picking New South Wales. So we've got that. That's tonight. In an hour, essentially. Hopefully they don't waffle on.
So let's just be perfectly clear. That's part of the picking comp, is it?
No, that's going to be its own separate one. So we'll have two. Yeah, so it's just three games.
So I'll win that one. Yeah.
So you won it last year because
I refused. Regular season one, we've got the cup competition, then we've got the finals. We've got three.
We just got them everywhere. Yeah, that's what we do. I'll keep track of the numbers, so it's fine, Paul. But yeah, that one we only have to bring up every now and then. I don't have to do a nice little pretty table for it, I don't think. But round 14, we've got the first game, Cowboys versus Dragons. Simon and myself have both picked the Cowboys. We normally have a nice little picture, but the NRL have forgotten there's a round because State of Origin is life. So they haven't even given me a nice picture yet. So we have a nice picture of a ladder. But yeah, first game, Cowboys versus Dragons. Me and Simon both picked Cowboys. What say you, Richie?
I picked Cowboys. Easy.
Pick Cowboys as well. Yeah, should be easy. That is, yeah, Friday. Sad day, we've got Titans and Rabbitohs first. Simon and myself both picked Rabbitohs.
I pick Rabbitohs.
Rabbitohs as well.
Titans are awful.
Yeah. And then also on said day, we've got Roosters Storm. Simon and myself have both picked the Storm in this one as well. I think they'll be too strong for the Roosters.
I'm pretty sure they will be too strong for the Roosters.
All right. So you are copying me again.
Yeah.
Then the last game on said day, because of Origin, we've got three games back on said day again. We have got Broncos Raiders. Simon and myself have both gone Broncos. I think, hold on. I think he wrote Raiders. I might have written them down wrong. So I've picked them. Who have you picked?
I went Broncos, but I think this will be a great game. I might have been swayed if it was in Canberra, but...
Oh, wait. No, I found it. No, he did pick Broncos as well.
Yeah, yep, cool. I've gone Broncos.
Cool. Yeah. All right. And now we're getting into territory where we differ. So we have the first game on Sunday is Tigers versus Sea Eagles. I have picked the Sea Eagles and Simon has picked the Tigers.
I went Sea Eagles.
You went Sea Eagles. I know he's picked the Tigers due to the bounce back after firing a coach.
Yeah.
Hope you're right. Next game on Sunday is Knights Panthers. We have both picked the Panthers. Who have you picked?
Oh, do you need to ask?
You have picked the Knights?
No, definitely not. The Panthers are an automatic tick, aren't they?
They are. Then the last game on Sunday is Warriors Sharks. Simon going with his approach of picking a team that's just sacked the coach. He's gone with the Warriors. I have gone with the Sharks. I know who you've picked if you're true to your word.
God, I hope you're going to be right, Simon. Yeah, I'm true to my word. I said never again. So,
you're picking Sharks. Yep. All right.
For the foreseeable future, anyway.
You refuse to pick the Warriors again. I am not that naive. I will pick them if I see some improvements. I just don't see it. I hope Simon's right in this one.
Me too.
And then the last game, which is on Monday because it's Queen's birthday in Australia, it's Bulldogs Eels. Simon and myself have both picked the Eels.
I went Eels. The Bulldogs normally put up a pretty good fight against the Eels, though, in the Western Sydney Derby. But, yeah, I still went Eels.
All right. So you and I have picked exactly the same again, Richie, which
you
I anticipated.
Copycat. You're a copycat, mate.
I picked my picks a few days ago. And Simon is different. So Simon could, if his go his way, he could get past you. So he is back the two teams that now don't have coach. And your Somerset Queen has a lot of birthdays. Yeah, that is true. So, yeah, before we've got some Super League. I know we have gone really long. Not really much has changed in the Super League. St. Helens is still at the top. Catalans are still second and Wigan still third. Catalans did lose to Uddersfield 22-14. And Wigan Wigan won against Castleford 32-12. And St. Helens bet Toulouse 28-14. So those are the big dog games. And looking at it, Wigan are playing Salford next week. Catalans are playing Hull FC and St. Helens are playing Hull KR. So I anticipate all three of them will win that and it'll still stay in the same position on the ladder. But yeah, not much else to add there. Simon said NRL's Auckland's up against the Auckland Blues Union side. That's going very well. Yeah, I don't think there's enough room in Auckland for another NRL club myself. But let's focus on getting the Warriors home first before we start talking about expansion. Anything else you want to add, Richie or Paul?
No, thanks to everyone tuning in and throwing comments our way, and Paul doing it, his job so well as always. Yeah,
exactly. Awesome. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in tonight and joining us on the Standoff with Brad and Richie. For your weekly update on rugby league, tune into our show next week at 8 p.m. on Facebook or at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. And see someone's just commented, go the Mighty Maroons indeed. Let's hope Queensland get a good win because Richard will be miserable next week.
Let's go New South Wales.
So thank you again for joining me, Richie. Thanks for your help, Paul, in the background. And pleasure, good night, mate. Everyone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.